is What's Next from American Security Project. I'm Maggie Feldman-Pilch. Today's episode includes an interview with Andrew Holland, ASP's Director of Studies. Andrew, thanks for coming back on What's Next.
Maggie, good to be here. Always happy to talk.
So we're going to talk about fusion, and as maybe a warning to everyone listening to this, this is going to be a different fusion conversation than you have heard before. It will not include any of the standard fusion jokes. We have already decided that. So, Andrew, I'm keeping you to that. But just as a quick recap, what is fusion?
So fusion is literally the perfect energy source. It's the energy source of the sun. It's a nuclear reaction where two light atoms are forced together at high temperature and high pressure, releasing a tremendous amount of energy. So two hydrogen atoms forced together become helium, and in that process, E equals mc squared, energy equals mass times the speed of light squared, a huge amount of energy comes out. The problem is we know it works, we've seen it on the sun, and we can do it here on Earth, but it actually takes more energy to contain the reaction than the energy out. So the challenge is to use, to find ways to do it more efficiently, more effectively, and there's scientists around the world working on this right now. We have done fusion here on in the United States and around the world, but you know, like I said, we're still trying to figure out how to make it work.
So fusion is a technology that we have access to, that we're working on refining. This sounds good. I'm intrigued. But why does ASP care about this?
Yeah, why ASP cares, and we think the whole country and frankly the whole world should be really diving into it more than we have, is a number of reasons. First, kind of economic and scientific leadership. You know, this, we know that energy is a central part of our economy, and, you know, that we've seen the energy revolution here in the United States, whether it's shale gas or oil or renewables. We've seen how this is transforming our economy, and we think that the next generation beyond that should be these advanced nuclear technologies like fusion, because it's literally limitless energy, and once we perfect it, you know, there's no stopping it from really becoming the preferred energy choice around the world. There's no pollution. There's no greenhouse gases. There's no problems with sourcing it. So, you know, countries that have large oil reserves don't get windfalls and you know, the geopolitical advantages that go along with that. So it's a key part of our economic leadership, and for that reason also our national security leadership. You know, energy is a key part of national security. And our energy security and, you know, building stable relationships around the world, when you don't have conflicts over resources, it's a good way to build a more peaceful world. If you have cheap, available energy, you know, I can't think of a better world than that.
Okay. I am sold. Let's let's put it that way. And there's always a lot happening in fusion, right? If you're paying attention, it does come up in the news. There are some universities that are involved in this. There are some really interesting private companies. And there's also U.S. government involvement. So from what you're seeing in all three of those arenas, what's new and what's exciting?
Yeah, so this is important. Maggie, you talked about the private companies in this, and that's actually one of the key new parts of this, is that this isn't just a government-funded research program. This is actually getting venture capital money in. This is people who look at this and see a potential profit down the line. And for venture capital, that means really a 10-year time horizon. They think that there's money to be made within 10 years. That doesn't mean that there's, you know, a power plant on the grid within 10 years, but that means that there's enough advances and intellectual property developed and that sort of stuff that they can sell out and make a return on their investment within 10 years. So that's important. This is not just something, you know, we've been doing fusion, as you said, for literally 60 years, but it's been government-funded scientific research, which is substantively different than, you know, a private sector program aimed at building a power plant, frankly. So what's new? One of the best examples, I think, is a private company out in California called TriAlpha. Mm-hmm. What their machine is called field reverse configuration plasma. So literally what it is, it's like a big, long torpedo. And from each side, they fire basically a smoke ring of plasma at each other.
Interesting. Okay.
So you fire two smoke rings of plasma at each other, and then in the center, they meet, and the magnetic field created by the plasma confines the fusion reaction in there, and it's stable for a remarkably long period of time. Remarkably long still is measured in the microseconds.
Sure. But it's all relative.
It's all relative. That's longer than people had believed that it was going to happen. So they built this big machine out there, had great successes, published their successes, and now they've taken the whole machine apart. And are rebuilding a bigger, more powerful one as we speak. And they expect to turn that on in sometime next summer.
And
initiate that. And they think frankly, that if they're successful with that, then the next step is a demonstration reactor. So it's really significant. They've gotten significant venture capital funding for this, and they think that they're on their way.
So when you say a demonstration reactor, that's not a power plant. What is that, and what does it do?
A demonstration reactor is the one step before the power plant.
Okay.
So
this is very close to a power plant when you think about it.
Yeah, it's the demonstration reactor is kind of demonstrating both the science and the engineering needed to get to the power plant. The power plant stage is still demonstrating the economics, but first step is to demonstrate the science and the engineering and figuring that sort of stuff out. So that's not to say that this is, you know, something that will, you know, be putting power onto the grid in 5 years.
Right.
But it's a lot closer than...
We can move demonstrably closer to that in 5 years.
Yeah, exactly. And there still are real and significant hurdles that they have to overcome, but they think they're on a glide path there. So,
that's exciting.
So that's interesting and really is exciting. Another one that I wanted to talk about would be up at MIT and the model that they're doing. We've had a long relationship with MIT, and I've climbed over top of their
you
Alcator
and
CMOD.
Many of our flag officers, I've seen the photos, I've heard about it afterwards. These are not people who are easily convinced of things, and they buy into fusion.
Yeah, it's amazing when you actually are able to see something, feel something, and look at it. You know, this isn't just equations on a piece of paper. So the thing with MIT, and so MIT's Alcator CMOD reactor just set a record for plasma density. So the how dense the plasma in a magnetically confined reactor can be. So that's important because what that's saying is that it's giving kind of a potential towards this idea of using very strong magnets, you know, stronger than we could build even 5 years ago.
Okay.
But using what's called high-temperature superconductors to build very strong magnets to build a smaller tokamak reactor. So something that's smaller and more compact and therefore cheaper than what we had always thought. So it takes a lot less time to build, is a lot cheaper. And so because, and I'm going to get this equation wrong, but basically it's if you increase the magnetic, if you increase the magnetic field that you contain it with, you increase the power out by a square.
Okay.
So you square the amount of power out.
So bigger magnet,
you get more power out much faster.
Interesting.
So significantly more. So so it's using these new technologies in material science and magnets and all this sort of stuff to build a better reactor along the lines. And tokamaks are the ones that we understand the most. This isn't smoke rings,
right.
Which is there's still science. Tokamaks, there's still science to be done, and it's difficult. But we've been doing this research for 30 years.
Right.
So now using these new materials, so it's kind of adding this advances in engineering to science we already understand.
Oh, that sounds like a good way to do science. and perhaps maybe what they were aiming for all along.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's something that they're working on, and I know that they're actively trying to raise money. The ironic part of this is that MIT set their record at Alcator CMOD the day that the Department of Energy shut them down. So
wow. there's something, I'm not sure that I can quite articulate what it is that there is to be said about that.
Yeah, you know, the government funding for these programs is challenging.
Yeah.
Funding overall is challenging for any sort of science, especially if it's the perception that this is a long-term challenge. And, you know, you view it through the lens of how is this ever going to compete with natural gas or nuclear power or anything like that.
Well, once we're out of natural gas, perhaps.
Yeah, so you have to think about it from the future perspective, not just from today's marketplace.
And that's not something our government or maybe parts of our government excels at, which I think brings us to our next kind of remaining factor, right? Government involvement in fusion. And there are parts of our government that are maybe responsible for funding that are less capable or willing to look at things more than 6 months down the line. And then we have agencies and departments that are focused solely on things that could happen in the next 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a couple of challenges here. One is that the DOE Fusion program is specifically set up not to be an energy program. Its sole purpose is scientific research. So they're not supposed to be doing research on how to build a reactor.
No one can see my face right now, but I'm confused because, as Andrew said, this is the Department of Energy, and we're talking about fusion research and fusion energy. So if the research isn't supposed to be on energy, what is it on?
So it's on plasma science. So it's the science of confining plasmas and everything.
Okay.
So it's, you know, it basically the idea is that they don't think that this is going to be something. When they did the quadrennial energy review, that was a look out to the next 30 years, and fusion wasn't in that. So they didn't think it was within the next 30 years. We think, based on this science that I've been talking about, these path-breaking things, that's fundamentally flawed. And by the way, other parts of the Department of Energy think that too. So ARPA-E, the Advanced Research Projects Agency, Energy, is a relatively new program within DOE. And they've funded a program in what's called magnetic inertial confinement fusion. So it's using both magnets and inertial confinement. So whether lasers or plasma guns or lead blankets to first confine and then crush a plasma to create fusion. The idea with that is that it's a cheaper way than either straight magnetic or straight inertial. So
it's like a hybrid.
It's a hybrid, exactly. And the idea is that at one edge, you know, it's incredibly expensive to build big lasers. At the other end, it's incredibly expensive to build big magnets.
Sure.
But if you can build medium-sized inertial things and medium-sized magnets, we actually can do that, you know. And so there's a number of programs they've funded. And I was actually out in Seattle a couple of months ago for their conference with all of the funders that they've...
A lot of the venture capital people you're talking about.
Venture capital funding. You know, and that's the great thing with ARPA-E is it marries U.S. government funding with private funding. So you have companies like whether it's General Fusion or Helion or Numerex or any number of these, as well as government things like Los Alamos or Lawrence Livermore, University of Washington, that are getting involved in this and doing it. So it's actually pretty cool. You know, it's a good way to think about how to fund it. I think it's a good model. Problem is, it's just not enough money.
Right.
So.
Right. Because they're not actually sovereign governments. These companies. Interesting.
So there's things to do, and ARPA-E is on purpose a short-term program.
Okay.
It's a 3-year funding program.
Oh.
And then they have to figure out their exit. Where's the next amount of money coming from?
Gotcha.
Whether it's U.S. government or this... you know, new program, the Bill Gates,
You know, all of these kind of consortium lots of money.
Yeah, all of these sorts of things. So there's money out there that should be going into this, and we think it's getting there, but it's still, you know, we have to think. Maybe what we have to think is not quite as long term as we thought. You know, this isn't about the end of the 21st century.
No, this is
more about relatively soon.
Yeah.
And let's get there. And, you know, things happen fast.
So that's all well and good. And I think some of this is what we're used to hearing on fusion. But part of what ASP does, and is different from our friends and peers at other institutions, is that we don't just describe what's happening. We really focus on, great, what are we going to do about it?
Right.
And I know you've been spending a lot of time on what are we going to do about fusion?
Right.
So in your mind, what are some real, tangible, concrete steps as we look with a new administration coming in that a new administration can take to not just provide the funding that fusion energy research needs, but the everything else that, right, the other support structures.
Yeah, you know, and the first thing we have to do is think about how to kind of create this political constituency for it. You know, you have to be able to, first of all, you have to have interest from the highest levels of government.
Sure.
So whether that means a champion in Congress or the president.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think we'd love to hear a new president say in a State of the Union or in a speech alone that, you know, fusion energy is a challenge, but Americans don't step back from challenges. The payoff is so great that we should be investing in this. Now, what that would come along with likely would be more money, too.
That's great.
But there's other things beyond that. It's one of the things is you need kind of this political leadership for it, that the president or that member of Congress needs to be able to pick up the phone and call somebody who's the leader of this. So we've actually advocated for creating a new position in the Department of Energy. You know, we said it would be a deputy undersecretary, but you could do
whatever,
something like that. Somebody who is appointed specifically for fusion energy research.
And why would that matter?
Because they are, they're politically responsible for it. Either they get the credit when it goes well, or they get blamed if things go bad. And so the kind of analogy here is General Groves during the Manhattan Project.
Sure.
He was the guy who basically organized everything. He wasn't a nuclear physicist.
You don't need a nuclear physicist this. You need a logistician.
Yeah, you need somebody who can crack heads.
Right.
Frankly, to somebody
maybe we should get
who
a flag officer.
Yeah. Mm. Or the other example that we talk about is Admiral Rickover.
Sure.
Who was the father of the nuclear navy, and he took from in you had the first. Chicago nuclear reactor in 1941, Chicago pile. And within 15 years, there was a submarine going under the Arctic sea ice running on nuclear power. So that was significant. And I think you'd need,
similar sort of focus. Right.
You need somebody
like a
who
laser.
Could, yeah.
See what we did there? I told you this was going to be a fun fusion podcast.
So, it of course we'd argue that that fusion research needs more money.
Right.
But it's also about focus and real thinking about how to do this.
Right.
Think about the trade-offs, think about the turnarounds and all this sort of stuff,
So we've said it would be great for the next president to mention fusion in the State of the Union or a similar kind of level speech mm-hmm. for the challenge and opportunities it brings, and or a member of Congress, also a political appointee, perhaps a deputy undersecretary responsible for fusion to herd all the cats.
Right.
What else?
Yeah, we need to think about how to fund these new innovative ways forward. The problem with a lot of the way government is funded is that you look at what we funded last year and say, oh, it needs a little bit more money or a little bit less money. And so it's not nimble to new advances. So we need to be thinking about how to be more nimble here. And for example, what do you do with this RPE program?
Right.
Assume that they show some real promise, and I think they will. They already are. But assume they have some real results. You don't want that to just die on the vine.
Right.
You want to figure out, do we link up with private dollars? Do we, do some sort of federal and private match? Or what? So it's about kind of forcing new thinking into here. And the thing is that the rest of the world isn't standing still here.
Right.
If we don't do this,
Russia and China will.
Russia, China, Japan,
maybe
South
France.
Korea.
Oh yeah.
Are really going to. And actually, there's a real threat that we may do the early stage stuff. So fund the first parts, and then they take what we've...
Done all the hard work.
TriAlpha is an American company run by... It was started by
University
an American,
scientists.
but also an Austrian. And
right.
So they could come and do their research here, but they're going to go where the money is.
Yeah, I mean they're a private company.
They have
that's
to,
their
you
responsibility.
Know, a private
it's
company.
Capitalism.
So if it's not possible to get funded here, and get the partnerships they need here, then they're going to go somewhere else. And I think that there's a real chance that kind of the American political stasis mm-hmm. undermines our energy future here.
Well, and it sounds like what you're saying is it's not just money that we need. We need a system. We need to build a new system and a way of doing things. And, we've talked about the Manhattan Project, Chicago reactors, nuclear subs, which is, obviously all part of DOD, defense, military. And that's a place where there is some precedent for building new systems, contrary to popular belief. We have the Rapid Acquisition System now, RAS, which is outside of, our traditional defense acquisition system. Not the most efficient and perhaps best example for this, but rather in an attempt to say it can be done.
Right? Yeah,
we need a system.
I don't think this needs to be a DoD program.
Right.
But there are lessons, there's
a mindset of like mechanize and
I think what it comes down to actually is politics. And for mm-hmm. whatever reason, the DOD is able to kind of grease the skids more for the political hurdles.
Sure.
You know, and that maybe, you know, the other agencies haven't been able to do. So
you need to do a better job kind of mobilizing your stakeholders, right?
Yeah.
All of the universities who are getting
right.
money for this and
right.
the private companies, you know, making it one, enabling them to communicate with their representatives, saying
right.
like, hey, this is something you should be doing, because, you know, as we all know in defense acquisition, one of the ways they yeah. make it happen is they really spread out that manufacturing. right? And,
that's right.
And, you know, maybe that's not in the best interest of fusion, but I think it would surprise a lot of members of Congress to know how much fusion is already playing into things happening in their district.
That's right.
I think of, you know, upstate New York, not a place where people think of fusion energy,
mm-hmm.
where I grew up, kind of the middle of nowhere. Alas, there is a private fusion company there.
Private fusion company there. And actually, University of Rochester
is
one of the largest laser labs in the world.
We have one stoplight, but we have that.
but
that matters. And in
yeah.
going to people, and so how do, you know, these are, as we've talked about on our podcast before, and as you've talked about through a lot of your work with ASP, the fusion industry and fusion people, so outside the private sector, don't have the know-how, time, et cetera, to do what the defense industry does, right? So how do you help scientists, nuclear physicists, talk to their congressional representatives or whoever else and make this case?
Well, that's actually what ASP is designed to do. We're designed to be kind of the pass-through for scientists, for this kind of broader, you know, policy community to kind of come together, and we can talk about what's in the long-term national interest. You know, I've spent a good bit of time on the Hill talking about this issue.
Sure.
And getting up there and just saying that, hey, this is an important thing and you should be aware of it. And, you know, by the way, if you really wanted to get serious about it, here are some things we can do.
Yeah.
We think we can do more of that and,
sure.
and would like to do more of that. You know, it's in Washington, you know, kind of the old Woody Allen thing. 80% of life is just showing up.
That's absolutely accurate. I'm a living testament to that. No, but it's true, right? And just making the meeting, making the phone call, sending
right.
the letter, whatever it is.
That's right.
And, you know, it's interesting because you're talking about ARPA-E, you're talking about MIT, you're talking about Tri-Alpha. This is all incredible stuff, right? Like, who knew that Bill Gates was funding fusion?
Actually, literally incredible. Like,
yeah,
people
like,
don't
believe that
this is credible,
like, how is this happening? And you're like, no, it
yeah.
is happening to the extent
yeah.
that the private sector, Bill Gates, is
well,
like,
let's be clear, Bill Gates hasn't yet funded
okay.
fusion.
All right.
So, but Paul Allen
has okay.
and Jeff Bezos have.
Okay.
And some other very wealthy individuals.
Right.
Bill Gates is not yet.
Bill Gates,
that.
If you're listening. but there are people whose job it is to sit there and weigh the ROI and decide, is this worth my time and money?
Yeah.
And it is for them in a big way.
Yeah.
And
at patient capital, though,
right?
You know,
right.
It's,
this is not a quick,
you know,
money turnaround
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's true.
This is not, you know, Instagram where
sure.
you know six people can suddenly become billionaires.
Right.
So
yeah,
it's,
that'd be really interesting, the Instagram of fusion. But oh man,
But I think actually it's more consequential for the country and the
right.
world as a whole
than Instagram. So. I happen to agree. So Andrew Holland, Director of Studies for ASP, our last question, as you know from your previous appearances on our podcast, what's next? What's next for fusion? You know, three things that we should be doing right now for fusion.
three things we should be doing right now. Well, first is, you know, really educating your policymakers, your members of Congress, your people within the administration and at high levels of power. So one is educating. Two is asking, you know, what do you think is the energy future and how can we get there? And, you know, frankly, I think that's the important thing to remember. We support renewable energy. We support all of that. That's really important. But the challenge of, you know, we can get to our 2030 climate targets with what we've got now.
Sure.
The future beyond that.
Right.
So, you know, 2030 is not that far away.
It's 14 years away.
14 years away. And so we've got to be able to develop the technology that will go to get to that zero emissions future.
Sure.
And I think that's where things like fusion energy come in. And then what's third? You know, what do you need to be doing? It's, you know, just going out, getting there and saying, hey, do we want to leave this to somebody else, to some other country to take the lead on? Do we want to buy this from the Chinese, or do we want to develop it and develop an industry here ourselves?
Absolutely. Well, Andrew, thanks for joining us. Thank you for making fusion more fun than it is for some people, generally speaking.
Hey, it's important.
It is important. This has been What's Next from American Security Project. I'm Maggie Feldman-Filch.